We have an exciting time ahead of us. We have a character tonight from the Christmas story that actually was there. Yeah. And he's going to tell you his story and how he participated in the first Christmas. But the strange thing about it is he actually missed the first Christmas. I mean, he was part of the first Christmas, but he missed the first Christmas. I don't exactly understand that, but I think he's going to set us straight on that thing. So let's listen to him and see what we can learn from this character that was in the first Christmas story. Are you ready? All right.
Here we go. Ah, shalom.
Shalom.
It's a greeting, you know. Do you know you have a rabbit on your head? Did you know that? I know you have a magic hat or something, right? And you took it off and the rabbit was still there. Well, my name is Nathan. I am here to tell you, as you just heard, I missed Christmas. Yes. I'm ashamed to tell you how I missed Christmas. Hopefully, if you hear my story, you will learn not to make the same mistake that I made a long time ago. You see, I am an innkeeper. Maybe you've heard of me in your Christmas story. Eh? You've heard, eh? You know the Christmas story? You hear? I am an innkeeper. I am a businessman. Money is very, very important to me. It's my business, and I'm very good at that. I live in a little tiny village, a place that is called Bethlehem. I'm sure you have heard of it. Bethlehem is a small little village. Only about 200 people live there. Small little place. It was only about a half a day's journey to Jerusalem. You could walk to Jerusalem in a few hours from Bethlehem. But my village was very, very small. And because it was small, only about maybe 200 people live there. And because it was small, you see, I had the only inn in the entire village. So I was the only innkeeper. Yeah, that was very good. Because being the only innkeeper, when people came by, they paid me money. I am a businessman. Yes. Well, Bethlehem is very, very famous, you see. On one side of Bethlehem, there's many wheat fields. On another side is where they keep sheep. Both of these, the wheat and the sheep, are used in the temple sacrifices. And that's what they did there. So it's mostly, Bethlehem was mostly made up of people like farmers and shepherds. That was about it. Not many famous people lived there at the time. Most people were up in Jerusalem or in some of the other city. But here in Bethlehem, that's where I lived, and I had the only inn. Now, maybe you know some stories, because Bethlehem is very famous. In the Old Testament, there are many stories about Bethlehem. Do you know of any to talk about Bethlehem? Or maybe some famous person who came from there? Why are you looking at me like that? You're sort of scaring me. And I hope your rabbit does not attack me. Does anyone know any stories or anything about Bethlehem, eh? Oh, you know one, eh? What?
I know that baby Jesus has been born.
That's right. It is the place where the Messiah, the Savior, was born. Very good. You are very, very smart. Yes. Someone else knows something about Bethlehem, eh? Well, have you ever heard of a Bible character named Rachel? Well, Jacob's wife, Rachel, yes. She died at Bethlehem, and she's buried there. My inn is just down the street. I many times would walk past her tomb as I would go back and forth to the well to my inn. I could pass her tomb. So that was a very, very, very famous person who was there, though it's a sad story because she died. Has anyone ever heard of a girl named Ruth? Ah, you heard of Ruth? Yeah, she met and fell in love with a man who lived in Bethlehem. Does anyone know his name? Eh? You know? Boaz. Very good. That was very good. Boaz. He owned fields around there, the farmer owned stuff. And his wife was Ruth. And they met there in the fields and they fell in love. Yes. And another famous person from Bethlehem. Anyone know? No one read the Old Testament, eh? David! David! Yes, he was a shepherd there. Remember the boy who fought Goliath? He lived in Bethlehem. He grew up in Bethlehem. His family was there in Bethlehem. And he grew up there. Do you know what he did? What his job was in Bethlehem?
Being a shepherd.
He was a shepherd, yes. He spent many times out in the field with a bunch of stinking sheep. Yeah. Me, I stayed in my inn. I kept my inn very clean. It smelled very nice. Not like sheep, no. David went on to become the king. The greatest king of all of Israel was David. Well, my story takes place about 1,000 years after David. Now, what happened with these on this first Christmas? You see, people travel often in Judea. And because we're just outside of Jerusalem, they would need a place to stay as they're heading there. So many Jews would come by and stay in my inn. Now, because I have the inn, what I had to do when a person comes into, maybe something you can understand this, many of you are staying in like in a cabin or maybe in the inn here at Fort. What happened before you got here was some people went in and cleaned it up. You know what happens when you leave? Some people go in and clean it up. Now, at my inn was so small and so insignificant, it was my family who did that. I would many times go in and clean the rooms. My wife would sometimes help. My children, my boys and girls would come in. We helped. And we would put the room all together. The guests would come. Then they leave. We'd go back. See, there's a lot of work being done. Not only that, in our days, we would many times feed our guests. We would make sure they have water. There was no running water in the rooms. So we had to go down to the well. Do you know Bethlehem had some of the best tasting water in all of Judea? Yes. And so I would send my children, usually my boys and girls, down there to get the jugs of water and come up and serve the people in the inn. Yes, they would do that. My wife would make bread, and we would give it to the people in the inn. My children would go pick fruit, and we would give it to the people. Always for a price. I'm a businessman. Yes. So, on this time, what happened was, the Roman government, there was the emperor, and he made a new law that all of the world was going to be taxed. And so everyone who lived in Judea had to go back to their ancestral home. And if you owned property there, you had to go back and register it and pay a fee for that. Now, most people did not like this Roman census because, for one, it was against our laws, the laws of God, to have this. So many Jews were very upset with it. Not me. Because all those travelers, they need a place to stay. And I am the only inn in Bethlehem. So, I was very happy. To me, it was like a blessing from God because all of a sudden now I have all of this money coming in. People are traveling. And the whole story with Joseph and Mary, they lived up in Galilee. They had to come down. And they had to come there because they own property there. And they had to register it. Even though they lived up there, people had property. They had to come back to their ancestral home. And they get registered there. So people are moving in and out. Jerusalem was so filled with people. All of the cities all around. Every day, I was able to fill every single room in my inn, every single night. Not only that, there are some of my neighbors were not from Bethlehem, so they would have to go, say, for instance, the man who lived next door to me, he's from Bethshean. So he had to go to Bethshean and register. Another person down the street had to go down to Beersheba and have to register there. And so we had people moving out. So what I did, you see, I'm very good at business. What I did was I asked my neighbors, hey, when you leave, your house is going to be empty. How would you like to make some money? They said, how? I said, let me rent your house to the guests while you're gone. I will clean it. My kids and my family, we will clean. We will take care of everything. The guests will come. They will pay money. And I'll give you half of what I get. So I filled every room like that. Also, in Bethlehem, there were some houses that no one had lived in for many, many years, just sitting vacant. I thought, why are they just sitting there? I could make money on this. So I started going over and putting people in them, clean them up, put the people in there, charge them some money. Hey, I was making money everywhere. Woo, person running around. Is that rabbit running around, eh? So you see what I was doing? I also charged more money at this time. This is business. I'm a businessman. I know you might be saying, well, you have so many people coming in. Why do you charge more money? Because they will pay it. You see, when they come on their way to Jerusalem or maybe down to Hebron or something, they come here. They come up and they say, do you have a room? Yes, I have a room. I have a house over there. It costs 3 shekels. 3 shekels? Yeah, if you don't like it, go someplace else. There's no other place here in the village. Right. Yes, I can get the money that way. See, I was thinking this is great news for me because all this money coming in, I could now buy my wife many things that I could never buy before. I could show her how much I love her and my affections by giving her gifts I could never do before. I could give my children things I could never, ever buy them before. Now, the Romans made it possible I could do this. And even myself, there are many things I would like to have. Now, I have the money to do this. It's business, and I'm a businessman. Well, that's how it was all set up. To be totally honest with you, I hardly remember much about Joseph and Mary when they came because there are so many other people coming. I didn't remember. Probably the main reason I remember them is that she was pregnant. She was about to give birth. That's what has stuck in my mind. Let me tell you what happened. You see, I was there talking in my house, one of the rooms in the inn, a very wealthy man. He was staying there. He was from Arad. And he was coming into my house, and he says, hey, we need some more water. We've already used up the water. Samuel, told my son, go get some more water. Get it up there. And he says, not only that, I want some more cheese. You already got the cheese I gave you. Well, we want more cheese. I'll give you more cheese if you give me a little bit more money. So we're standing here haggling over all this. All of a sudden, there's a knock at my door. I open up the door, right in the middle. And here's this man. This was Joseph. And he says, you got any rooms? Are you the innkeeper? You got any rooms? He was sort of frantic, very excited. I said, what's the matter with you? Yeah, I'm the innkeeper, but we have no rooms. There's no more rooms. You need to go on. You can go to Jerusalem or Bethany, or if you're going the other way, Hebron's not too far away. You can make it still. If you get on your donkey, I see you got donkey. Get on your donkey. You can make it in a few hours. You can be there. Well, he didn't like that answer because he said, no, I have to have something here. I said, there's nothing here. I have filled every house. I have filled every room. There is nothing here. Every single room is filled. You understand? I have nothing. Well, I can pay. I can't. I would love to take your money. I have no rooms. It's like this guy didn't understand what I'm telling him. Well, I say, there's nothing I can do. And I turn away. Talk more with the man from Arad as he walked back onto the street. As I'm talking to him, I tell him, okay, we'll get you all the things you want. Some pomegranate. You want a pomegranate? I'll give you a pomegranate. No problem. Give me a shekel. I'll give you many pomegranate. As I go out, because I know some of the other places, some of my other rooms, they need some water. I decide to go down to the well myself and pick up a water jug and fill it up. I had to walk past Mary and Joseph. I felt really bad because they're still standing here. They didn't move. And I'm like, why didn't they go to Bethany? They could be there in a few hours. Why don't they go to Bethany? And then she screamed. That did not make me feel good. Yeah, I said, it's business. I've gotten too much to do already. I went down to the well, and as I'm filling up the jug to bring to my guests, I'm thinking, I can't take care of them. I have so many other guests I have to take care of. There are so many people depending on me. You understand? They're depending on me to get them the water, to get them to the food, to get them bread. I don't have time for all of this. I felt bad. Yes, I felt bad. But it's business. I'm a man of business. Yeah. As I went back up the street, I could not even look at them. I turned my head. I was feeling very full of shame and guilt. But I kept telling myself, it's business. I go back up to my house and hand off the water jug to my boy and have him take it to the other room. I met my wife standing at the door. She says, "Who is that standing in the street?" I said, "His name's from Joseph. He said he's from a place, Nazareth, way up in Galilee. He's looking for a place to stay." "Well, why is he here? Why does he go someplace?" I said, "He is a descendant of David. And so he has to register here." "But I told him we have no place to stay." "Well, tell him to move on. Bethany's close." I said, "I told him all of this. You think I not know? I told him. Go to Bethany. Go to Jerusalem. Go someplace else. We have nothing here. Why are they standing here?" "Well, she's about ready to give birth." "What?" For a moment, I thought about asking my wife, "Do you think we should bring her inside our house and share and let her help?" You see, in our country, there's an old custom that when someone comes to your door who is in need, who is in want, even if it be your enemy, you bring them inside, you feed them, you take care of them. It goes back to the laws of God. I know this law. My wife knows this law. But do you know how much work is involved with a pregnant woman giving birth? And we have bread, we have cheese, we have so many things to do. I don't have time for this. There's too much to do. I have guests that are paying me money. I have to take care of them. You understand why I'm saying this? We thought about maybe having one of the other people who are staying in one of the big houses, and there's only a few of them. Maybe we could have them move on to Jerusalem. I said, "No, we can't do that because they've already paid me money. If I tell them that I need the house now for a pregnant lady, they're going to want their money back. I can't do that. It's not good business." Maybe we could put him in with someone else who's only like one person in a room. They're still going to want money back. No, that's not good business. So, as we stood there, I don't know who came up with the idea. I think I did, because I'm the smart one in the family. You know, my wife, when she tells the story, she says she's the one who came up with the idea. Put him in the stable. I said, "Ah, the stable. Of course, we never put people in a stable." And she says, "If you put them in there, make sure you charge them more money, because Samuel this morning changed the hay. That's brand new clean hay in there." I thought, yes. So that's a good idea. So I go up to Joseph. He's still standing in the street. She's screaming every now and then. I go, "Joseph, I take it you're not moving on." "No, we can't. We have to pay the taxes and everything here." And I go, "Okay, I've got a solution for you. Let's do this. You pay me 2 shekels, and you can stay in my stable. It's back behind my house." He looked at me sort of strange. I said, "No, it's a clean stable. There's only a few animals, and we just changed the hay. It is so perfect for you. So nice and comfy, brand new hay. There's no manure in there. It's all been shoveled out." Well, mostly it's been shoveled out. Samuel sometimes misses things like that. "But you can go in there." So they went on. I walked them over to where the stable was, which is actually just a cave. That's all it is just a cave. We had a few animals, but that was it. And they went inside, and I was very glad to get rid of them, and I went back to my home. I walk inside. My kids have already now gone to bed. And I'm thinking, what a day this has been. How many loaves of bread, my dear, have we made today? How many times have we walked to the well back and forth? We're so tired that I lay down and I started to think, finally, I can sleep. But the guilt, the shame, still there. And every now and then, I could hear that Lady Mary screaming in pain because of the birth. It really was like sticking a dagger in my heart. I could have helped, but I'm a businessman. So I tried thinking of other things. I thought, what can I do with all this money? I wonder if my wife would like to have that, or I could buy these for my kid. And I lay there in my bed thinking about all these things that I could buy with all the money now in my pocket and more coming in every day. Somewhere in there, I fell asleep, only to be awakened in the middle of the night by some shepherds who came down out of the fields and were screaming and shouting. What is going on? I get up and I go to the window. My little window, I look out there. What's this other racket? And these shepherds are out there. I go to the door. I open up my door. Hey, be quiet. I have guests paying for a good night's sleep. You're making it impossible for anyone to sleep. What's the matter? And they kept shouting. Then I understood what they were saying. They're praising God. And I'm like, what a time to praise God. In the middle of the night, what? You can't praise God in the daytime? Why do you got to do it in the middle of the night? Messing everything up. You're keeping me awake. You're keeping my family awake. You're keeping, oh my God. Be quiet, I told them. Be quiet. You can praise God, just do it quiet. I went back to bed. After a while, they were gone. Fell back asleep. Got up early, though. Oh, there's so much to do. We had to make more bread. Had to take trips down to the well to get water. All this is going on. Well, here's Joseph. As I walk outside, standing there at the stable, holding his newborn son. I felt so guilty. I didn't even go over. No. I didn't even go over. The first Christmas I missed, and folks, it was in my backyard. And I missed it. My friends, I missed that first Christmas. I fell into a trap. Please listen to what I'm telling you. It wasn't that I was unloving. It wasn't that I was an uncaring person. No, it wasn't that at all. It was business. I was serving people. I was taking care of people. I was helping people. Isn't that what a good Jew is supposed to do? I think there's a lot of people like that. People that fill their lives, like what I did, with needless things. I could think about all the things this money could buy. Needless things and stuff. And in doing so, they totally miss the Son of God. I was too busy. I miss Christmas. The first Christmas, right in my backyard. I was too busy. I pray, listen to me. Please, don't live like I did. Don't make the same mistake. I ask you to think. Did you spend more time shopping than you did adoring the Son of God? Did you spend more money on stuff, laying awake thinking of things to buy others, instead of giving money to the kingdom of God? If so, maybe you have fallen into the same trap I did. I hope you learn from my mistake. Shalom.